Today's daf is Vav Metzia daf Pei Zayin. We left off in daf Pei Vav and Beis. We're in the middle of the Agadata about Avram Avinu and the time that the Malachim visited and exactly all the food that he brought them and all the lessons that we learn from the food that he brought them and from the way he treated them, etc. So we are up to, last run line is Varachatsu. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the page on Pei Vav and Beis. I believe that's what we're up to. Yukach na ma'at mayim. So says Gemara, Yukach na ma'at mayim rachtsu raglechem. So Avram Avinu told the malachim, or who he thought were just the travelers, come take some water and wash your feet. Amar Rabbi Yanib Rabbi Shmal, Amru lo, they said to him, what? V'chiba arvayim chashadetanu, she'mishtachvim la'avak raglechem. Do you consider us like the Arabs who bow down to the dust of their feet? Some explain, what does it mean to bow down to the dust of your feet? That's a little crazy. I mean, obviously a lot of the Avodah Zarahs were crazy, but to bow down to the dust of your feet is extremely strange. How does one turn the dust of their feet into a deity? So I've heard explained in the past, I forget who says it, that Avak Ragleya means their life experiences, that they assume that's their deity, where everything they've been through, the dust that remains on their feet from all their travels. Anyway, so they were Mishtachvet, so do you think we are Arabs who bow down to the Avak Ragleya? Kvar Yatza Mimenu Yishmael, and Yishmael has already descended from Avram Avinu, and he's the one that actually does this. So it's ironic that he's the one that the father of Yishmael is accusing other people of being Mishtachvet Lav. And Hashem appears to Avram in the plains of Mamre, and he's sitting at the opening of his tent, at the door of his tent, kichom hayom. So my kichom hayom, what does it mean kichom hayom, in the heat of the day? Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Osa Yom Yom Shlishi Shal Mila Shal Avram Haya. That day was the third day since Avram Avinu had his bris mila. Uba Kodesh Baruch Hu Lishal Ba'Avram, and Kodesh Baruch Hu went to see how Avram was doing. So Hotzi Hakodesh Baruch Hu Chama Min Artika, Hakodesh Baruch Hu took the sun out of its protective covering, Kadesh Le'atriach Oso Tzadik Ba'Orchim, so as not to bother Avram Avinu with having to deal with guests on a day that he was in so much pain. Shadri L'Eliezer L'Mepak L'Bra Nafuk V'La'ashkach. So Avram Avinu, looking for guests, sent Eliezer out to look and see if anyone was coming, to try to find people. And Eliezer went out and he couldn't find anybody. Amar lo mehemnilach. So when Eliezer came back, said, I'm sorry, I can't find anyone, Avram didn't believe him. He thought he was just trying to protect him. He just didn't want to bother him. But he said, he probably thought Eliezer was doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really doing. So he didn't believe him. So, and that's what people say, that's the expression, you can't trust avadim. I mean, that expression is specifically appropriate over here, because apparently even an Eved like Eliezer, even an Eved who's the most trusted servant in the world, which is the way Avram Avinu felt about Eliezer, someone who's Damesek Eliezer, who's Dolam Ashkamitoris Rabbah, someone who's trusted with the important task of finding a wife for Yitzchak, etc. This very important person, this very trustworthy person, still at a certain point you just say, you know what, at the end of the day he's an Eved, and the trust only goes so far. So what did Avram Avinu do? Nafak Ihu, he went outside. Chazi ala Kodesh Baruch Hu dekaya abava, and he saw Kodesh Baruch Hu standing by the doorway as if to come and visit him. Why didn't Eliezer see Kodesh Baruch Hu standing at the doorway? So we know that when Avram Avinu was bringing Yitzchak years later to the Akedah, so the two Na'arim didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu on top of the mountain. They look on top of the mountain, they didn't see anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just showed up. But when Avram Avinu went out, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing at the doorway. Hainu d'chsiv, and that's what the pasuk means when it says, Al na tavar me'al avdecha. Please don't go anywhere. Kivun d'chazda d'ka asar v'shari, Amar lavar achar l'mekamacha. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Avram Avinu was replacing his bandages, he was taking them off, putting them on, and it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing when a chola has to do treatments and there are people watching. So the appropriate thing to do is, let's say sometimes someone is very sick and they can't move, so they have to turn them over or wash them or whatever they have to do, or change the dressing, whatever it might be. It's embarrassing for someone to be watching when that happens. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's not derech eretz to stay over here. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always sees. Yeah, but there are a lot of things we learn about derech eretz from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not appropriate to stay here. Hainu d'chsiv, That's why it says that that he picked up his eyes, Avraham Avinu picked up his eyes, and he saw that there are three people nitzavim alav, standing right by him. And then it says he goes and he runs to greet them. Well, if they were standing right by him, where did he have to run to if they're standing right next to him? So meikara asu kamu alei. Now, first they came, and they were standing right next to him. Ki chaziu davali tzara armulav aruchara lemeikam hacha. When they saw that it was a great source of, that he was having tzara, that he was suffering, they said, it's not really appropriate to stand here. Is this guy suffering? So they went away, and Avram started chasing after them, saying, come back, I don't want you to go away. Tosos, chazi alakotsh baruch l'dukai abava, Tosos says, v'ahenu d'chsiv al nos avar me'al avdecha, hacha mashma sha'shchina hayarotu l'stalik me'al Avram. The implication over here is that the Shekhinah was ready to leave Avram. When Avram says, please, don't leave, it's because he got the sense that the Shekhinah was going to leave because the Shekhinah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thought it was inappropriate to stay there as Avram was going through all these bandage changes, etc. Obimafan mashma shel fisha rotza Avram lelech likros orchim lachnisam. Amr la'HaKadosh Baruch Hu laham tenach yachnus osan. But in Mesechta Shabbos, we have a drasha that seems to assume otherwise. And it's a much more famous drasha, because Rashi and Chumash quotes it, that that Avram Avinu saw the guests, and when he saw the guests, he wanted to go do Achmas Sarchim. So he excused himself from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't leave, just stay here for a minute, I gotta go do something else. I want to do Achmas Sarchim. Darshin Mineh, because we darshin from that statement of Avram Avinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Gedolach Nasa Sarchim Mekabalos Pnei Hashchina, that greeting guests is greater than Kabalos Pnei Hashchina. V'kamer Nami Hasam, and we say over there, look how different the way humans act and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts. Midas Basav Adam, Ein Katan Yachal Lomar L'Gadol, Hamtein Acha Avo Etzlecha. In normal interpersonal relations, a person can't say to somebody else, to someone who's greater than him, someone who's of higher stature than him, you know, you just wait here for a minute till I come back to you. But Vilu B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ksiv Al Natavar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's his greatest nachas. Meaning Avraham Avinu was running to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. He was going to be Machnas Areach, which is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him, and therefore it's his greatest nachas. He's very happy to stand there and wait while Avraham Avinu does what he's so eager to do, which is the mitzvah of Achnas Arachim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, four lines on the bottom, Maninu Shlosh Anashim, who are these three guys? We said three men were standing there. So answers the Gemara, famously, Michael v'Gavriel Rafael. The three men are not three men at all. It's the three Malachim, Michael, Gavriel, and Raphael. Michael, Shabbal of Asar, Sarah. Michael came to tell Sarah the good news that she was going to have a baby. Raphael, Shabbal of Rapi, Avram. Raphael, as his name suggests, to go and heal Avram Avinu from the wounds of his bris milah. And Gavriel, Azuma Hafchila Sodom. And Gavriel, who exhibits a sense of gevura, went to go turn Sodom over. He had the job of destroying Sodom. Pasuk says two angels went to Sodom that evening. But wait a second. If one of the angels was there to tell Sarah something, the other one was to deal with Avram, and only one of them was supposed to deal with Sodom, why did two of them go to Sodom? Only one of them should have gone to Sodom. So answers the Gemara, the Azal Michael Bahadeh Lashazve Lot. Michael went along with Gavriel to Sodom in order to save Lot. That was part of his job as well. So he had that second job. Dekanami Dukhsiv Vayafoch Sa'arim Elvuloksiv Vayafchu. It says that they Vayafoch, not Vayafchu, that one person did the, not one person, one Malach did the destroying of Sodom, and not two. So you see, even though two went, only one was there to destroy, the other one was there to save Lot. So Shema Mino, so you see, that's Taka Araya, that only one of the Malachim was there to destroy Sodom, the other one just tagged along to be able to save Lot. Now, says Tosos, Tosos deals with several questions, how Huda Asa L'Shazvi L'Lot V'Tema. The Medrash says, in a well-known Medrash, and Rashi again, and Chumash, I believe, quotes this Medrash on these Psukim, that a single Malach can't do two different jobs. So what's going on over here? We said, why did the second Malach tag along to go to Sodom? Because not only did he have the job of telling Sarah that she was going to have a baby, he also had the job of saving Lot. I thought a single malach can't do two separate shlichus. Each malach is given one job, and you can only do that. So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer Dekan Lo Asa Michael B'Shlichus Achas Ki Maisa Echad Shebisar Asara. In his first shlichus, in shlichus number one, all he did was one thing. He went and he told Sarah she's going to have a baby. Ukeshahalach Misham L'Sedom. When he went to Sodom, that was a separate shlichus. It was a new job. The malach not being able to do beis shlichus means he can't do it in the same place. But if he finishes one job and he's about to go back to the Ribbon Shalom, the Ribbon Shalom says, you know what? Stick around, I have another job for you. But another job, that counts as a brand new job. That's not two shlichus. It's not that a malach is only used once in his entire career and then he's retired. No, the malach can be used several times, just not in the same place for more than one thing. Unlike our Gemara, which says that it was Michael who went to save Lot, in the Medrash Rabbah it says Raphael went to save Lot. But not only that, it doesn't mention that Raphael was there to cure Avram. If that were the case, though, we wouldn't really have a problem. I mean, Tosa says my kasha about how one malach can do two shlichos wouldn't really be a problem. Because if Raphael's job was to both save Lot and heal Avram, that's all the same shlichos. That's the same idea of saving the human beings. So each human being is not necessarily an individual shlichus. That's all inyan echad, who it's all the basically the same idea, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. Tells us Rav another question. Hikshar Rav Rabbeinu Elchanan Hamashma Lishna Dekra Sheshnei Mitziluhu Dichsiv Vayachziku Anashim Biyado Uksiv Vayotziuhu Vayanichuhu Michutz La'ir. Right, it sounds from the Pesukim that it was more than one malach that was saving Lot. You're right, the Pesukim make it very clear that it was only one malach that was destroying Sodom, which fits beautifully, but it sounds like that it was more than one malach that was saving Lot. Keeps on using these plural lashonos. Uksiv basrei, shamalei malach, shabo lafach ha-Sodom, ki lo uchal asos davar, ad bo achashama. That the malach who went to destroy Sodom said, "Lo chalasos tavar, I can't do anything until you come there." The Yeshlomar sheshneim hotziuhu chutz liir, that they both brought him outside the city. Umichal halachimo ad tzoar v'Gavriel hayimitzavo salamaher. That Michal brought him to a certain location to tzoar, and Gavriel was the one that was telling him to hurry up. So they each had a specific role within the job of taking Lot out of the city. Tos seems to be struggling that two malachim shouldn't do the same exact job either. Not only can one malach not do two shlichus, but two malachim can't do one shlichus either. They must have each had a specific role within bringing Motzi Lot me Sodom. Okay, says the Gemara weiter. Maishna l'gabe Avram l'chsiv kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. Why is it by Avram Avinu? Avram says, you know, tells him exactly what to do, and they say, "Kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta." No problem, we'll do exactly what you say. But then Malachim come to Lot, and vayivsar b'ma'od, and Lot has to work very hard on them till they agree to come, till they agree to be his guests. What's the difference? If a katan asks you something, so you can say no, thank you, and keep on and thereby forcing him to ask you more. A gadol asks you to do something, and misarvin the gadol. Gadol asks you to do something, even if it's not something you're most comfortable doing, and even if you want to be humble about it, and you want to, gadol asks you something, you're not misarvin the gadol. So k'siv ve'echa pas lechem k'siv ve'labaka ratz Avram. Pasuk says that of the food being offered, there was pas lechem and there was elabaka ratz Avram. Amar Rav Elazar mikan shetzadikim omrim ma'at ve'osim harbe. Right, he says, "I'm going to get you some bread," and then it says, and he runs right away to the cattle to slaughter some meat. So you see from here that the way of tzaddikim is to say very little but to do a lot. Rishayim omrim harbe vafil ma'at einem osim. Rishayim are the opposite. They say a lot, they promise a lot, but they don't even do a little. Meaning, not only do they, the opposite would be, and they do a little, but it's even worse than the opposite. They don't even do a little. Minalan, how do we know that? May Ephron, we learned that lesson from Ephron. First, the pasuk says that Eres Harmel Shekel Kesef Beiniu Veincha Mahi Vesmeischa Kvar. Ephron says, come on, just a little bit of money. It's nothing between us. It's really no big deal. We're going to make sure we get a deal done. Don't worry about it. You know, sometimes when you ask about the price of something, don't worry about the price. We'll make sure we get it done. We'll make sure we work it out. And then later on, tries to get you for every nickel. Well, b'sof k'siv vayishma Avram el Efron vayishkal Avram el Efron esa kesef asher dibur bazni v'nei ches arba meil shekel kesef over la socher. It says that he gives him arba meil shekel kesef, not just arba meil shekel kesef, but arba meil shekel kesef that's over la socher, that's usable currency anywhere and everywhere. So it was very expensive kind of money. So lo shekel minei el kantri di ikaduchta dekarli l'tikla kantira, that he only took from Kantari, which is apparently a very high level of currency. Rash says, Mishkal Gadol, Shekarin Tzantinar, Mea Mana. It's a heavy weight. It's worth 100 mana. So it was worth a lot. So he took 400, not Shekel Kesef. He took 400, a lot more than Shekel Kesef. Shekel Kesef over the Socher, which is this Kantira, and in some places Kantira is called a Shekel, and that's how the Torah can refer to it as Shekel Kesef, even though it's really this much higher level currency. So he actually took a lot more money than he ever said he would. So that's where we see that the Rishayim say a lot, but they don't even do a little. Ksiv, because he said he was going to give Avram Avinu a good deal and works on the Afrim. Not only did not give him a good deal, he totally ripped him off. One of my chaverim at a Shever Brachos once said, Rav Chatzkel Freundlich, who's the assistant rabbi in Atlanta, Georgia now, once said at a Shever Brachos, I don't know where he got it from, that, you know, we darshan kicha kicha mistei Ephron, that's where we learn the idea of Kiddushin, from kicha kicha mistei Ephron, that Kiddushe Kesef, not Kiddushin, but Kiddushe Kesef, that one of the methods of Kiddushin is with Kesef, because we know Kesef changed hands when Avram Avinu bought the Maariv HaMachpelah from Ephron, and the same lesson of ki yikach ish isha, of kicha, is used when we talk about marrying a woman. So yes, it's so strange, of all the places to learn from, it's so unromantic to learn from buying a piece of land, and not only buying a piece of land to bury the wife, and that's where we're going to learn Kiddushin from. So he said that he thought the idea was, and it's a good Shever Brachos part, if you ever need to speak at a Shever Brachos on the spot, he said that the idea was that if you think about what was going on in each person's mind at the time of the deal with Ephron and Avram Avinu, Ephron was thinking, this is the greatest deal ever. I'm selling him this cave. You can't do anything in this cave anyway. You can't plant here. You can't plow. There's nothing. It's a piece of garbage. I'm selling him this land. I'm getting arba meir shekel kesef over la socher. I'm getting an exorbitant sum of money. Totally ripping this guy off for what I'm offering. I'm getting this tremendous deal. And Avram Avinu was thinking, so what? So I have to give some money for this? You know what this place is going to be? This is going to be Maariv HaMachpelah. This is going to be a place for all my descendants to pray and to come to and to gain inspiration for thousands of years going forward. So how much money would be too much? It's ridiculous. It's nothing compared to for what I'm getting. I'm giving so little. He said, that's the Yisod of Kiddushin. That's the lesson Chazal and their infinite wisdom were trying to show us, our Kodesh Baruch Hu, through putting this drasha in the Torah, trying to show us through this connection between Steyafon and getting married. That's the proper attitude for Chasen and Kala, to look at, you know, for what I'm giving, I'm getting such a great deal. I'm getting the steal of the century over here. Each side can feel that way in the same kinyan. Anyway, Ksiv Kemach, Ksiv Solas. Pasuk says to make the bread out of Kemach, and also says Solas. Now, Solas is much finer flour than Kemach is, right? The pasuk says, Vayimar Avram ha'ohala el Sara. Avram ran to the ohel to Sara. Vayomer maharish shloshim Kemach Solas. Go make 3 seim of kemach solas. No, kemach is not solas. They're different. Kemach is, of course, a kind of flour. Some Rav Yisrael, mikanshi ishat sarei enea ba'orchim yosir min ish. We see from here that women generally are a little more stingy with the guests than the men are. Sometimes they won't bring out the nice meat when they have it. So anyway, ksiv lushi v'asi ugos. It says, go and make ugos. Ksiv v'yika chema v'chalav min ha'bakar. And he took chema v'chalav from the cattle. V'ilu lechem lo'ais. But apparently he never brought the bread. He told Sarah, go and prepare the bread, but they forgot it in the kitchen, and they never brought out the bread. So Amar Ephraim Maksha, Talmidu Shal Rabbi Meir, Mishmeid Rabbi Meir, Avram Avinu Ochel Chulin Betara Haya. Avram Avinu was makbet to eat even his chulin with Tahara. The Sarah Imenu Aysa Yom Pirsa Nida, and the Osa Yom Pirsa Nida. And that day, Sarah Imenu became a Nida, so the bread became Tameh, and Avram Avinu wouldn't eat his chulin bituma, right? This obviously has nothing to do with our contemporary Hilchas Nida, right? The being a Nida used to mean a lot more than an Isra Labaila. It used to mean that there was that she would make things Tameh. So if you were Ochel Chulin Betara, you couldn't eat things that the Nida would make. That's why Chazal referred to the fact that women used to wear big day Nidos. Women used to wear special clothing so that people would know when they're a Nida. Why does anyone else have to know besides for her husband? Because people need to know if she's being metame things. They need to know whether she's metame mishkav and moshav, and to stay away from things that she's metame. Certainly, people who are makbet to be ochel chulin betara have to stay away from various food items that she touches. So that was Avram Avin. Right? That's the Rav Yosef Engel quotes from the Kuzari, that one of the questions in the Kuzari is that they asked, why is it that if there's no such thing as Tumah Tahara nowadays, no one's makbir on Tumah Tahara nowadays, why do we still practice Nida? So that was the Kuzari's answer, based on Tosfos Baba Kama, that there's a difference between Nida when it comes to Issa Labaila and when it comes to Tumah Tahara. We don't do Tumah Tahara anymore, but the separate issue of Issa Labaila, that we still do. Anyway, we weiter in Darshin the Pesukim, Vayomer Elav, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, Vayomer Hinei Ba'Ohel. So he said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she's in the Ohel. This teaches us that Sarah was a tremendous tznua. The Malachim knew full well that she was in the Ohel. So what are they doing over here? They knew exactly she was in the Ohel. They wanted to ask Avram Avinu to try to make a point to him that he should say, look at that, she's in the Ohel. She's showing such a level of tznius that to draw to his attention what a tznua she was. That they wanted to bring her a koshal bracha to be able to give her the bracha that they wanted to give her, so they needed to know where she was. But clearly the other Amoraim understand that they knew exactly where she was, and there was some sort of lesson in asking after Sarah. That's an important ha'ara, because if I'm not mistaken, Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos says, when the Gemara over there says that a person is not supposed to be mispalel b'lashon arami, because ein malach yasharis niskakim b'lashon arami, that the malach yasharis don't understand lashon arami, Tosfos over there says, what do you mean they don't understand lashon arami? Afilu makshav shebleiv kol adam heim yodim. They even know the thoughts in a person's mind. So one of the achronim in the back of the Gemara says, what do you mean they know the thoughts in a person's mind? I have a raya that they don't know stuff like that, because the malachim had to ask where Sarah was. They didn't even know her location, let alone a person's thoughts. So they had to go ask where Sarah was. So I just thought it was the strangest raya, because it's an afna gemara, a very well-known drasha, that they were only saying that kedei l'chav al baila, they knew exactly where she was. So anyway, Tani Mishum Rabbi Yossi, lama nakad al aleph yud vav shebe elav. Why in the word elav is there nekudos on top of the aleph yud vav? Limda Torah derech eretz. The Torah, meaning it says vayomru elav ayesar eshtecha. They asked him, meaning they asked Avram, where is Sarah? So because of the nekudos on top of the aleph yud vav, the Torah is teaching us derech eretz sheyish al adam achsan yishlo, that a person should always ask about his host. Now Rashi and Tosfos have different interpretations of what exactly this means. So if you look at Rashi, al aleph yud vav shebe elav. Aleph Yud Vav Shalom Nakud Va Lamed Eina Nakuda, but the Lamed in the letter does not have Nakudos in it. So how? What's the drasha? Lim the Torah Vahainu Nakudos Ayo De Lo Hayut Shrichel Nishael De Yodin Hayu Shehi Ba'Ohel De Kol Nakuda Okeres Hateva Sheena El Drasha Udrosh Mina Derech Eretz. Whenever there are Nakudos on top of a letter, it's always to be Oker that word. It's always to tell you that it's really the opposite is happening. That really it's not necessary. So on the word elav, the kudos are there to tell you that they didn't really need to ask. They were asking Avram, but they didn't really need to ask Avram because they knew exactly where she was, and it was just teaching derech eretz to to ask after the achsanya, but they didn't need to, and that's implied by the nekudos, like on the nekudos by Esav kissing Yaakov, right? So what a chazal darshan, because there are nekudos on top of the letters, and not that he was kissing him, but rather that he was trying to kill him, he was trying to bite him or whatever. So chazal have various drashos, because nekudos are oker the letter, they're oker the word that they're on top of. Tulsa says a little differently. Lama nakar al aleph yud vav shabei lav vibrachus rabba aleph yud vav nakul vamud einu nakul. Rabbi Rabbi Shimon called nakum shatamotz ksav rabba lenukuda atadorish es ksav. When you have more writing than you have the dots, so we're dorish the ksav. Vekancha nukuda rabba. But over here there are more letters with nukudos than without. So atadorish es nukuda ayo avram. So you dorish those letters that have the nukudos on it, which is ayo avram. Amra beyazar kashem sharmu lavram ayesara. Kach amru l'Sara ayo Avraham, and therefore we darshan, the Medrash says, just like they asked Sarah, they asked Avraham, where's Sarah? They also asked Sarah, where's Avraham? That they, it was derech eretz to ask about the spouse. V'achinami havi pirush hacha, and that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That's Tosfos. That's what the Gemara is really saying. It's not a drasha from the fact that they that the Gemara is darshaning. They couldn't have been asking about Sarah's whereabouts for real because they knew where she was. No, what we're saying is that they weren't only asking about Sarah's whereabouts. They asked Sarah about Avram's whereabouts, and that's where you see that you always have to ask after the host. And he says, according to Rashi's pshat, that why would they need to ask? Didn't they already know? So, kasha, the hayulo lenaked al ayei sara. Why on the word a love, of all the words in the pasuk, to put the letters on, the real dots should have been on Ayesara, to say that that question was really unnecessary. On Aleph Yud Vav in a love, that has nothing to do with Ayesara. Meaning it's a word in the pasuk, but it's not the most appropriate word to put those dots on if that's what the real drasha is. Says Meravayt, Vamar Shmuel, Ein Shalom B'Shlomi Sheklal. I thought you're not allowed to ask about the well-being of a woman. I thought it's not derech eretz to ask about a woman. No, when you ask through her husband, that's okay, because it's inappropriate to ask somebody else about some married woman who's not your wife. But to ask through her husband, so that's okay. Says Tosos, not so fast. Hainu davka lishal ayei plonis. To ask where your wife is. Oh, I thought your wife would be here at the simcha tonight. Where is she? Avalishal b'shloma afilu al yidei baila aser. But to be shol b'shloma, that's aser even al yidei baila. Kedamin perek asar yuchsin. I mean, just again, we have to be sensitive about the level to which we feel comfortable with other people's wives. Now, probably the minhag is not like this in terms of being shol b'shloma if you know that something was specifically wrong. Right, but stam, to just schmooze about other people's wives, that's inappropriate. But if you know she was sick, or you know that she wasn't well or something, so how she feeling shows concern for the family in general, I would think. Achrei b'losi haisli edna. So Sarah Imenu says, Achrei b'losi haisli edna, Am Rav Chista, Achash nizbala habasa v'rabu akmatin, after her flesh has already turned old and she's gotten wrinkles, nisadin habasa v'nispashra akmatin v'chazo yofi l'mukamo. All of a sudden it became soft and tender again, and she all the wrinkles went away, and her beauty went back to like when she was young. Ksiv v'adoni zakenu ksiv v'ani zakanti. It says v'adoni zaken, and then later on it says v'ani zakanti. So the lomos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu dekamer ihi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misreported to Avram Avinu what she had said. Shalom is so important that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu lied for the sake of Shalom. Shenemar, Vatitzchak Sara Bekirba, Vadoni Zakein, Uksiv, Vayomar Hashem El Avram, Vani Zakanti. Right, it says that Sarah initially left, how could I have a baby, Vadoni Zakein, Avram Avinu is old. But then when it was reported back to Avram Avinu, it says, you know, it's not right that Sarah left, saying that she's too old to have a baby, because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to do anything. But he reported it, that she's too old to have a baby, not that he's too old to have a baby. So this is, again, the idea that the Gemara says elsewhere, that Mishanin Mipnei HaShalom, that while truth is a very high level, it's a very high priority in the hierarchy of Jewish values, right? And we could say a lot about truth and the value of truth. It is not the highest value. Shalom is a higher value than emes is. And when the two conflict, shalom defeats emes. So Mishanin Mipnei HaShalom. It is pointed out that it doesn't say Mishakrin Mipnei HaShalom. Mishanin Mipnei HaShalom, you try to do it in a, you try to minimize how much you have to lie, even when you do have to lie, right? That's what I think The Oznaim L'Torah writes on the Pasuk, and other earlier people had said it as well, on the Pasuk, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. What's the lashon of midvar sheker tirchak? He says the point is that even when it's mutter to lie and you have to lie, midvar sheker tirchak, you should try as much as you can to stay away from actual words that are blatant lies. Now, when there's no choice, and the only way to keep the shalom is by saying something that is a blatant lie, so you could say a blatant lie. But ideally, if there's a way to do it by saying something that gives the wrong impression, that's a little bit of a white lie, better to do that than to say something that's an explicit blatant lie. And the raya to that is from Yaakov Avinu. Right, ani kama esav b'charecha, meaning he said things that clearly were trying to give the wrong impression. But even when you do have to do that, stay away from things that are an explicit, blatant lie. Vatomer mimala l'Avram hinika banim sara, kama banim hinika sara. What do you mean banim? How many children did Sarah nurse? Samar Rebbelevi osa yom shagom l'Avram as Yitzchak benau, the day that Avram Avinu weaned Yitzchak, asa su'uda gedola. He made a birthday party. It was a second birthday, probably. That's when you wean the baby. How you call him a salam, or that's when they did. How you call him a salam, Iranim va'omrim, and all the masalam used to were mocking them, and they were saying, "Risim zaken v'zikra shevu asufi min hashuk." Here you have an old man, an old woman. They take some, so they adopt some baby from who didn't have any parents. Va'omrim b'neinu hu, and they go and claim that it's their child, and they're making like a birthday party for it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed them with a child. That's impossible. They're such old people. It's obviously not their child. V'lo od el shalos and mishter gadol hamid v'rayim. Not only that, they're making this big party to show that that it's true, that it really is their child, when in fact it's not. So ma'asa Avram Avinu, what did Avram Avinu do to destroy these rumors? So again, the Gemara could have asked right here, wait a second, just because a fool says something doesn't mean you're supposed to respond to the fool like the Gemara just asked, and it would have been the same answer, right? What did the Gemara say just two blot ago, or whenever it was, that when it comes to protecting your children from bad rumors about them and about their lineage and about their yichus, so then you have to respond even to the fools to make sure that that your children's reputation remains intact. To protect yourself, so let the fool say what he's going to say. But to protect your children, so you have to even respond to the fools. So what did Avram Avinu do? Halach v'zimin kol gedolei adar v'sari yimeinu zimnas nashoseyem. Avram Avinu invited all the gedolei adar, sari yimeinu invited all of the women. Again, with the classic tznius of Avram and Sarah, that Avram was always mekari v'sa'anashim, v'sara sa'anashim. Avram was megayir sa'anashim, v'sara sa'anashim. They each worked in their own realm, within their own gender. V'kalachas v'achas yivya b'na, and each one would bring their child with them, umenikasa lohivia, and each one would bring their child, but they didn't bring their nursemaids, they didn't bring the people who were going to nurse their children. Vidnasanes besarimenu, and sarimenu had a miracle happen. Vniftuchu dadea kashne mayanos, and her breasts opened up like two springs. Veinika eskulan, and was able to feed, to nurse all those babies. Vadaino mran, which is supernatural, obviously. I mean, you forget about that, doesn't just prove that she had a baby, that proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with her. It's impossible. Eventually you run out of milk. And they still were making fun, and they said, okay, fine, Sarah proved herself. But if Sarah habas tishim shana teilid, Avram ben mea shana yolid, granted, Sarah is 90 years old, she gave birth. Avram, at the age of 100, he was able to have a child. So miyad nepach klaster panim shal Yitzchak v'nidmel Avram. So right away, the face of Yitzchak was nepach, meaning we're often taught that Yitzchak looked exactly like Avram Avinu. Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara says Yitzchak was born not looking exactly like Avram Avinu, and he was 2 years old. I mean, he was being weaned off of being nursed already, so you could already see facial features, you could already see who he looks like, and his face turns, and immediately turned into the face of Avram Avinu. Pastu kulam va'amru, Avram holidus Yitzchak. And that's when everyone says, oh, you see, Avram was taka holidus Yitzchak. It can't be that that's not the father of that child. Ad Avram lo hayazikna. Till the days of Avram, people didn't grow old. Man, that means they just died. Man dava bayil mishtai ba'de Avram, mishtai ba'de Yitzchak. But the problem was, it was very confusing. They were like identical twins. If you don't age, and you look exactly like your son, so people are likely to confuse them for each other. So someone who wanted to meet with Avram met with Yitzchak. It's like identical twins. Bade Yitzchak mishtai bade Avram, and people who wanted to meet with Yitzchak instead met with Avram. Us Avram barachim evav zikna. So Avram davened that they should be able to have zikna. There should be such a concept of zikna. Apparently, it's not a good thing to always be confused with each other. And identical twins could tell you it's very annoying to constantly be confused with the other person, and very often it's an invasion of privacy. and it's just if things are found out by the other party, you don't want that. You don't want to be found out. So Shnemar Avram Zakin Baba Yamin. Ad Yaakov Lav Adchalish. Ad Yaakov, I'm sorry, Lav Chulsha. Till Yaakov, there was no illness in the world. Asa Yaakov Bar Rachim, meaning illness that led to death. So Asa Yaakov Bar Rachim Evav Chulsha. Yaakov asked that people should get sick before they die. Shneimer, so that why? So Rashi says there was a reason for it. Sheyechla Adam Fneimosav Yitzav LeBeso, so that they can get their affairs in order before they go, so that they can let their what they want done to be known. They can issue a tzava. Shneimer Vayomer LeYosef Hinei Avicha. Right, they told Yosef, "Hine, avicha chola." Behold, your father is sick. Meaning, it was like the first time it ever happened, so it was like a shock. So, ada asa Elisha lo avad dechalish viitbach. Until Elisha came along, no one ever got sick and got better from it. Asa Elisha by rachme viitbach. Elisha davin for rachmim that he should get better. Shnemar v'Elisha chola eschali asher yamuspo. That Elisha got sick with the sickness that eventually he died with, but the implication is mechal dechala chali achritzi that he did get sick another time where he didn't die. Tan Rabban shlosha chala in chala Elisha. Elisha got sick three times. Echad shadach v'legechazi b'shtayadav, once for rejecting gechazi with two yadayim, that when gechazi did something wrong, Elisha was not at all understanding or willing to accept repentance in any way. He completely was docha gechazi, and for that he was punished. Ve'echad shegira dubin b'tinokos, and another time when he got upset, he about the way the children were acting, he because he got upset, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent these bears to go and they killed several young people. So that was a little too harsh. Ve'echad shemespo, and one illness that eventually he died with. Shnemar v'Elisha chalas chali asher yamuspo. Ella ad shelo yasfilu b'melachot seva amar lehem al menashe ein lechem alaya l'pas kitnis. Good, so the Mishnah had said, we're back to our Mishnah now, the story went that the son went and hired the workers, and the father said, no, you told them you're going to give them a zonos, you even Kesuza Shlomo Melech B'Shaito is not going to be good enough, because they're B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Quick, before they start, go chap them, and tell them that you're only going to give them pas kitnis. Right? So says Gemara, Amar le Ravach, B'rei de Rav Yosef, Rav Chista, pas kitnis tzanan, or pas vik kitnis tzanan? Is it pas kitnis, bean bread, or pas an kitnis? What were they saying? That what's the normal standard of what you should give? It says Tosos, Hapshita Rabbi Yochanan Levino, pas vik kitnis, for pas shel kitnis. Clearly he meant both, and not pas of kitnis. El achim bayle, pas kitnis tzanan, vafilu achim mashma shapit, pas an achelis im kitnis, v'lo mashma pas shel kitnis. Meaning the question is, we know what he meant. The question is, can the phrase pas kitnis mean pas vikitnis? So that we know when other people make such agreements, right, so we can know what they mean. Right? So we know over here clearly the metzius was he was offering pas and kitnis. The shaila was, when generally people say pas kitnis, do they mean pas vikitnis or do they mean pas kitnis? Because if over here he said pas kitnis, then clearly it must mean that pas kitnis can mean both pas and kitnis. Samalei halukim, Tzricha Vav ki mordayo delivros. He says, of course there's a Vav in there. The Vav, the size of, Rashi says, some type of oar that they use to steer a boat. A very big Vav. Put a big fat Vav in front of that word. Okay. Rashi Shimon Gamliel says there's no reason to renegotiate the terms of the agreement. Everything always follows the Minhag HaMedina anyway. So whatever the Minhag HaMedina was to feed them, that's what you would have to feed them. You don't have to give them more than Suda Shlomo HaMelech B'Shaito. So HaKol HaSuyeh Mai, what's he adding when he says HaKol is Minhag HaMedina? LaSuyeh HaDetnan, HaSoch LaSapol, VamLo KaEchol, KaShnayim, Yibnei Yair, Nosin Lo Kepacho SheBeschirus, Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. That if you hire someone, you say, I'll give you like one or two of the people of the city, so you can give the on the lower end. The Chum say, you don't give too little, you don't give too much, you do whatever the average worker in the city is going to get. When you say, I'm going to give you like one or two workers in the city, you don't go with the cheapest workers, you go with the average people, what they normally get, the benefits that normally come with their job. Says the Mishnah, the following workers, while they're working, have a right minat Torah to be able to eat some of the food while they're actually doing the malacha. Says, tells us, what does this have to do with anything we're talking about? Mishum da'iri me'ekar b'palim shalchan al-adei shepaskal ha-mezonos al-adei minhag ha-medina, since we were discussing food supplied to workers, either because you made an agreement to feed them, or because there's a minhag medina that you provide the meal, that the Baal HaBayis provides the meal for them. So now we show that there are certain times that workers can eat, even absent any agreement, and even absent a minhag medina, that there are certain times workers, it's expected, are allowed to eat. For instance, someone who works on mechuber lekarka at the time of the gemar melacha, at the time that they're reaping, that they're harvesting, he's allowed to eat a little bit. Ubetalish min lekarka ad shlo nigmar melachto. If you're working on grains that have already been cut, but the gemar melacha has not yet been done yet, you didn't have the miruach akri, etc. So that's also you're allowed to eat a little bit. Ubedavu shegidul minar, it's things that grow from the ground. Ve'elu she'en ochlim, and the following you are not allowed to eat. Hosu b'mechuber lekarka bisha she'en gemar melacha. If you're working on things that are mechuber lekarka when it's not the gemar melacha, ubetalish min akarka me'achar shenigmar melachto, and are things that are detached from the ground after the gemar melacha. So now it's already chayvin shumas ma'isvos. So what are you going to do? You can't snack on it anymore. Ubedamar shein gidulim min ha'aretz, and things that are not gidulim min ha'aretz. Also, Rashi says kagon ha'chalid be'emos avulam megavein. If you're in charge of milking the guy's cows, you're not allowed to keep on taking sips of milk. That's not for you. That you have to leave totally for the Baal HaBayis. So says Marminan Yimili, how do I know that a poel is allowed to eat from that which is mechuber lekarka? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says ki savo bekerem reyacha v'yachalta, that if you go into your friend's kerem v'yachalta, you're allowed to eat when you're working in your friend's kerem. It says v'yachalta anavim kinafshech hasavecha velkel yichalositein, that you're allowed to eat a little bit. Just don't stick any in your kli. You're not allowed to put it in your pockets while you're there. You know, and all you can eat breakfast at a restaurant means all you can eat while you're there. It doesn't mean that you pack it up in bags and bring home whatever. So that's what it means. Kisava bekerem reacha v'yachalta. So ashkan kerem kol mili minalan. It's a big shaila when you go to like a bris or something. So sometimes they have bags, and you know the host is essentially telling you, "I want you to take food with you." But so I just saw someone was discussing this. If there are no bags, can you take food with you, or is the assumption that no, you're invited to share in the simcha? But to come and take the food from the host, away from the simcha. So most would probably tell you that the caterer gives me so much food, I really don't need to take it home. But it's not so pashut for everybody that it's going to be like that. Sometimes people actually order very little or whatever, they can't afford that much, whatever it might be. So it's a shayla. Anyway, so when you go into the Kerem Reacha, the parallel in the Torah is you go into Kerem Reacha, you can take some, but don't stick it in your pockets to bring home. Ashkan kerem kol mili minalan. So we find this by a vineyard. Yes, you're allowed to eat when you're working in the vineyard. But what about all other things? So garmin mi kerem. What about all other types of fields? So we learn from kerem. Ma kerem yuchad davar shegidule karka b'shas gemar melacha poel ochel bo. Just like kerem is gidule karka, it's things that grow from the ground. And when it's a gemar melacha, the poel is allowed to eat from it. Av kol davar shegidule karka b'shas gemar melacha poel ochel bo. So to anything that's gidule karka at the time of the gemar melacha, poel is allowed to eat from it. I malik kerem shekin chayv ba'olulos. But wait a second, can you really derive from kerem that every other field is just like kerem? Kerem has a unique chiyuv of olulos, it has a unique set of matnas aniyim that you don't have by other fields. So maybe that's dafka din by kerem. So answer is more no gamrin and mikama. We learn from kama. Kama gufa minolan. But how do I know that that's true by kama, that by when you have a field of standing grain, that it's true also that you're allowed to take a little bit? So dechsev, because the pasuk says ki sava bekamas reacha v'katafta minilos piyodecha. Pasuk also says you could take a little bit. So malu kamash kein chayavs bechalav. It says Gemara, wait, you shouldn't be able to learn from grain either, because when it comes to grain, it's chayv and chala. It has its own chumra. So you can't necessarily apply that just because you're allowed to take a little bit from a field of grain that you could take from all other fields. We might the high kama come into the mechayev's bechavlihi. Who says we're talking about the kinds of grain that are chayev and chala? Dilma kol kama kama rachman. Maybe he's talking about all kinds of grain, not just the chameshes min yedagan that are chayev and chala. So asya kama kama k'siv hacha k'sava bekamas reyacha k'siv hasam me'achel chamesh bekama. Right, that the pasuk says. Mehachel chermesh bakama Tachlis Pashuv Shavuos, that's talking about the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, but Ma Hasam Kama de Mechayv B'Chala, but we darshin. Just like over there, it's Dafka talking about the kind of Kama that's Chayv and Chala. So Af Hacha Nami Kama de Mechayv B'Chala. So we know we're Dafka talking about the Kama that's Chayv and Chala. So bottom line is, you can Mefrak Ma the Kama Shekin Chayv is B'Chala. So how can you derive from Kama that you're allowed to always take a little snack for yourself? No, the Kama is Chayv and Chala, it has its own Chumra. It says Gemara Kerem Yochiach. No, but vines don't have a din of challah, and we still see you're allowed to take a little snack for yourself. Yeah, but Malak Kerem Shekin Chayv Ba'olos. Kerem has their own chumrah. A Kerem has a chumrah that it's chayv in Olos. So how can you derive from Kerem that you're allowed to take a little for yourself? So Kama Tochiach. Well, Kama doesn't have a din of Olos. V'chazer Adin, La Riza Kriza, Hatzav Shabahen, Shekin Davar, Shekidule Karka, U'bishas Gemar Melacha Po'olach Lebo. The Tzad HaShav Shabahem is that they're both Gidule Karka, and we know the Halacha by both of them is, because the Pasuk says by both of them, that you're allowed to take, at the Shas Gemar Melacha, you're allowed to take, when you're harvesting, you're allowed to take some for yourself. So af kol davar shegedulei karka b'shas gemar melacha po'ol ochel bo. So too, anything that's gedulei karka at the time of the gemar melacha, a po'ol is allowed to eat from. Okay, the gemar's discussion continues all the way onto the next daf, so it's not such a bad stopping point. We're a little behind, but we'll make it up tomorrow. That's just Hashem.